Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be a child of the Most High God on this day. For God has given me a new day and woke me up this morning, and I am grateful, thankful, and truly blessed because somebody didn't wake up today. So give God thanks if you're listening to my voice, because he woke you up, clothing your right mind, a new day that he has given you. We are starting a new book today, and it is a hard book, but a great book, and it is the book of Job. And what Job teaches us is adversity comes, adversity goes. Through your good, through your bad, through your ugly, you never quit thanking God. Because everything is for a purpose and a reason that God allows whatever happens in our lives. And what God gave me this morning as I was thinking and praying on this lesson was this. All things come through our Heavenly Father. All things. All things, your good, your bad, your ugly. And for those that are Facebook friends of mine, the word that God gave me for Facebook this morning was something just to think about. Just to think about. And as I thought about it, all I could say was, wow. Lord, you are in charge of everything, everything. And what he gave me was when we are going through, we tend to blame the evil one. The devil this and the devil that and Satan this and Satan that. Well, we fail to realize the evil one can only do what our Heavenly Father allows. Yes, God allows us to have good things, but he also allows the evil one to hit us with adversity, which can be bad and downright ugly. One thing we should always remember, if God, no matter what your it may be, he will bring you through it. It is God who gives and God who takes away. Praise him through the good, the bad, and the ugliness of life. He will not give you more than you can bear. God will not give us more than we can bear. He loves us like that. He loves us like that. God will not give you more than you can bear. There are times when you go through, cry in the middle of the night, Lord, help me. But God wants us to help ourselves too. You can't cry, help me. And don't do what you want to do, what you're supposed to do. Lord, help me get out of this. Help me get out of that. When you're not doing right yourself. To do right. And we have to thank God. Because all things are possible through him. Not to us, but through him. It is God that gives and God that takes away. And in the case of Job, Job did not have a problem saying, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just know that whatever it is, in the end, God's going to bring you through it. If you keep trusting and believing in him. Let us pray, Father God in heaven, I come to you this morning with a humble heart, Lord God, thanking you for my good, thanking you for my bad, and thanking you for the ugliness that I have gone through in my life. But Lord, through it all, you've always been there with me. Through it all, you've always held my hand, picked me up, dusted me off. You've always been there, wiping away my tears. You've always been there, putting a smile on my face. You've always been there, and you've never let me down. Father God, I ask forgiveness for anything I may have done in thought, in word, and deed before I read your word. Lord, give me a clean heart and a righteous spirit within me, that I will speak your word in spirit and in truth. For you are my Father God, and nothing is impossible for you. And all things are possible through you, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. I call on the name of Jesus this morning, Lord God, asking you to increase as I decrease. Asking you, Father God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart in your sight. But Father God, you are my strength. You are the one that picks me up. You are the one that gives me a hug in your loving wings. Lord God, I ask you to please allow this word to go forth in excellence. For you, Lord God, are in charge. And I'm your humble servant to be used by you to teach and preach your wonderful and mighty word with a humble heart. In the name of the matchless Savior who died on Calvary's cross for my sins and the sins of this wicked, awful world. It's in his name I pray, believing and trusting that all things are working for the good of those that trust and believe in you, who are called according to your purpose. In Jesus' name again I pray. Amen. Giving honor to God, for there is none like him. And we all know that at this time, the little snake was allowed to slither in and out of heaven to come in with the sons of God. But I want to read before we get started my little overview. I love this little book. And I tell any teacher that teaches the Word of God to get it. And it's just called Know Your Bible. All 66 books explained and applied. And it is by the company that puts it out is Barbour. Barbour Publishing, B-A-R-B-O-U-R. You can get it on Amazon. And it's like a set of books, how to study the Bible, and that's an interactive study Bible study that you can do. And it's just really, really good. That's all I can say is it has helped me a great deal in Bible study. And this is what it says. Joe, the author, says not stated. But we believe that it was written by Job. The date of this writing was unclear, but many believe Job is one of the oldest stories in the Bible, perhaps from approximately 2000 BC. So they're believing that Job was written over 2000 years before Christ. And it says in 10 words or less, God allowed human suffering for his own purposes. And that's what they say. And what I said was, you know, we all have our way of expressing things. And that was their way of expressing it. And my way of expressing it is all things come through our Heavenly Father. So all things come through our Heavenly Father, which is seven words for me. And he said, God allows human suffering for its own purposes. But I say all things come through our Heavenly Father. And that is good things. That is bad things. That is ugly things. Everything comes through God. All things come through our Father. And they are all for a purpose and a reason. And so let's try to get an overview of Job. And it says this, Job is the head of a large family. Job is a wealthy farmer from a place called Uz. He's perfect and upright, so much so that God calls Satan's attention to him. The devil, unimpressed, asks and receives God's permission. Note, he cannot touch Job until he got God's permission. He cannot touch you. He cannot touch me. He cannot touch anyone, our children's children, without permission. And that is the key to everything. The devil cannot do anything to God's people without permission. No, I said God's people, not without permission. So you had to get permission from God to attack Job's possessions and wipe out thousands of sheep, camels, oxen, donkeys, and worst of all, Job's 10 children. The devil killed his kids. Now, you know, that's the most devastating thing that could happen. I know how I was messed up from the death of my husband of 32 years. So I would not want to tempt or test God with the loss of my sons, of my grandchildren, of my daughter. I would not want to test God with the loss of my godsons. I wouldn't want to test God. But this is what it says. Despite Satan's attack, Job keeps his faith. Satan then receives God's permission to attack Job's health. But in spite of terrible suffering, Job refuses to curse God and die, as his wife suggests. Before long, though, Job begins to question why God would allow him, a good man, to suffer so severely. Job's suffering is worsened by the arrival of four friends who begin to accuse him of causing his own trouble by secret sin. Is not thy wickedness great, as Eliphaz, the Temanite? In the end, God himself speaks, vindicating Job before his friends and also adding the overarching issue of human suffering. God doesn't explain Job's suffering, but asks a series of questions that shows his vast knowledge, implying that Job should simply trust God's way. And Job does, telling God, I know that thou canst do everything. By story's end, God has restored Job's health, possessions, family, giving him 10 more children. Notable, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we have to give God what's due God. And Job also says, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. Miserable comforters are ye all. Sometimes your friends can be your worst enemies because they want to comfort you, and then they want to try to tell you, well, what did you do? You must have did something wrong. No, you didn't. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, and they didn't do anything wrong. But it's just God's will. Unique and unusual, the book of Job pictures Satan coming into God's presence. He also gives a clear Old Testament hint of Jesus' work when Job says, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter days upon the earth. Woo, hallelujah. So what? That's the end. Trouble isn't necessarily a sign of sin in a person's life. It may be something God allows to draw us closer to him. And that is the overview of Job. And let's get started in the book of Job. And what did I say earlier? It is a what? A great word this morning. And we are blessed and favored to be able in this nation to read the word of God and it not be hindered, it not be lost, that we are able to do it. We are able to do it. God, he loves us like that. So be grateful to be a child of God. Be grateful that he knows your name. Be grateful even when you're going through your adversities. Know that you are blessed because God will not bring you unless he's going to bring you through it. So let's get in our word this morning. Get your Bible, get your Bible, get your Bible. I am coming out of New King James. So my King James readers, you will still be able to follow me without any issue because New King James is pretty much King James without some thems and thous and thitters. Instead, it's them and they and there, you know. So it's all pretty close to the same. But I would just like to say I am coming out of the Dr. Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for each day of the year. And when you hear me say life questions, life lessons, life answers, those are commentary from Dr. Stanley. And I will say Dr. Stanley said, so that you know that it's his words and not mine. So let's get started. And it says this, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was of the east. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would raise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to the presence themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord, and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. In other words, I'm just going and making trouble here and there and everywhere. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil? So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Evil little thing, ain't he? And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were blown and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabins raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burnt up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked will I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. We all have our, the Lord gave moments. The Lord gave that, and the Lord has taken it away. Because sometimes God has to take away to get our attention. Because we go into our lo-de-do-de-do moment and we forget to praise God. We forget to give God the glory. We forget to do what we need to do with what God has blessed us with. We get sidetracked. We forget to trust God. Instead, we trust man. And men will lead you down the wrong path every time. Instead of trusting God, we trust everybody else but God. We got to trust in God. I believe it was Andre Crouch wrote, you know, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. You know, we got to have our soon and very soon moments in our life where we learn to trust in Jesus and we learn to trust in God. For all things come from our Heavenly Father. And I'll say it again, the good, it comes from our Heavenly Father. The bad, it is permitted by our Heavenly Father. And the downright ugly, God watches. But understand that when you go through your ugly, your reward is greater than anything you could ever imagine. As long as you keep calling on the name of Jesus and trusting in God. We got to trust the Lord in all things. In all things, we got to trust God. And we've got to call on the name of Jesus, for our help cometh from the Lord. Not from mama, not from daddy, not from your sisters and your brothers, not from even your church members and your pastor, but from God. God is good and greatly to be praised at all times. Good, bad, ugly, God is worthy to be praised. Praise some more. You got to have your push, but you also got to turn over that plate and do some fasting. And I will tell nobody that when you are truly fasting, it is not easy. You will be tempted with everything under the sun. Oh, come on, let's go have ice cream. And it's after your fasting time starts. You got to learn how to say no. I'm sorry, I can't. I got something I'm doing for God, and I can't. And keep it moving. Oh, let's go get something to eat. Nope, I can't do it. I got some, I'm doing something for God. You know, that's when you get hit with all the things that you like and all the things you like to do when you're on a fast from. If you're fasting from coffee, everywhere you go, somebody's going to be drinking coffee. If you're fasting from a certain time to a certain time, every commercial that comes on TV will be about food. If or something that you've given up drinking, or something you've given up eating, or something that you've given up doing, everything you see is going to be about that thing. We got to understand the enemy is sneaky. That's why we call him a sneaky snake. He's a low-down, dirty dog. He's a low-down, whatever day you can think of. He's a wolf in the hen house. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. You know, he's all those things. And he roams here and there and forth. Isn't that what he said? When God asked him, what are you doing? He says, I'm going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Always going to and fro, walking back and forth, seeing what he can do and asking permission to go after you. But you have to pray, God, put up a standard around my family. Put up a standard around everything that I have. So, Lord God, I am yours and you are mine and I trust in you. And as Dr. Stanley has said, these are some life questions. And then we're going to go into some lessons. And then we're going into chapter 2. And it says, God, how God limits our adversity. Although God may allow Satan to persecute and accuse us, the Lord also puts a limit on the amount of adversity he allows Satan to send our way. In the case of Job, the Lord stopped Satan the first time by commanding him, do not lay a hand on his person. And the second time with the limited command, spare his life. Satan had to comply both times just as he has to comply today with God's limitations on the amount of adversity you and I suffer as God's children. There is a limit to adversity. It will come to an end. One woman quoted to me a favorite Bible phrase of hers, and it came to pass. She said, just think, came to pass. It didn't come to stay. Ooh, hallelujah. That's a good word. It came to pass. It came to pass. Remember that today's troubles are just that, today's trouble. A season of trouble is just that, a season of trouble. Crisis pass. Circumstances change. Situations evolve. God works in and through adversity to bring it to an end according to his timetable. You know, when our kids are going through, you know, we all have those kids. My husband used to say that we was teaching a class and somebody said, well, when is a person brain dead? And my husband made a comment when they turn from about 12 to 14. And everybody, of course, laughed because we understand once they get them preteen, teenage years, kids can be something else. And you're like, oh, Lord, what is going on? They get mouthy. They try to act like grown. You know, as my parents used to say back in the old days, somebody trying to smell themselves. You know, that's a Southern thing. You know, some people might not understand. But the bottom line is, I tell you, they lose their mind. In high school, and you have to, you know, give them the look. But that's why you train them up in the way they should go. So when they get older, they will not depart from that training. So you train them up from childhood, from babyhood, to be good and honorable men and women of God. You train them up to know the word of God. That, yes, they may go through that brain dead moment, that season of brain dead from about 10 to about 10 to about 14, 15 years old. And then when they start thinking about their future, most of the time, they click and they start getting it right. And then sometimes they don't click until they turn 21 and they got to do their own thing, got to pay their own bills, got to find their own place to live, got to pay their car payment, got to do all those things that adults have to do. And realize, oh, shoot, my mom and dad, they went through. Yeah. So that you didn't have to go through. But it's going to take some time. Some people after 10 years old were taking care of themselves. Once they hit 18, you grow, goodbye. If they don't grow up out of the brain dead, if they not revived because they trusting in God, all you can do is train them up and pray, Lord, let us get through this season of disobedience. Let us get through this season before I take a child and slap them in the mouth and slap them from here to Mississippi and back. And no, I'm not advocating abuse. I'm advocating not sparing the rod and spoiling the child. We can't spare the rod because we are in a society where the state and the government tells you how to raise your children. And we wonder why we have violence in the street. We wonder why we have things going on in schools that should not be going on. We wonder why kids don't want to go to church. We wonder why all the things that are happening are happening. It's because we advocated our responsibility as parents and gave it to the government. Because folks are scared because they're going to call the child and family services on you if you. No, you cannot continue to allow your children to run your household. Because I'm going to tell you this, God is not allowing us to run anything, is he? He's not allowing us to run his household. God will chastise you, and we as parents have to chastise too. Hallelujah. And the word of God, as Dr. Stanley says, Daniel noted that when he prophesied that the beast would be allowed to persecute the saints for a time and times and a half of time, the Aramaic word for persecute in verse 24 literally means wear out. Enemy of our souls attempts to grind us down, to wear us out, to wring us dry, but God says not completely. Satan can do nothing to us or in us beyond a certain point. If we will continue to trust God and resist the devil, furthermore, the Lord does not allow us to be tempted or persecuted beyond our ability to endure. No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. What good news this is. God will limit our trials and tribulations and eventually provide a way to escape from them. Life lesson. Job 1:10. Have you not made a hedge around him and around his household and around all that he has on every side? That's what the devil said to God about Job. Job had no idea of the extent of God's protection that surrounded him and his family. Will we joyfully obey God by his spirit? As Job did, the Lord does the same thing for us that he did for Job. Always remember, our behavior matters. Those who are in Christ must learn to invite Jesus to live his life in and through them so that they can increasingly please God and turn away from evil. Praise the Lord. Job 1:20. Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground. Did he fell to the ground and curse God? No, he fell to the ground and worshiped. When tragedy strikes, believers hurt just as much as anyone else. They grieve, but not as others who have no hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. We can worship even in tragedy because nothing can separate us from God and his love. Praise the Lord. Chapter 2 of Job. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, who one who fears God and shuns evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. So Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yes, all that a man has he will give for his life, but stretch out your hand now and touch his bones, and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. And he took from himself a posture from which he scraped himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all this adversity that had come upon him, each one came from his own place. Eliphaz from the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. But they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they raised their eyes from afar and did not recognize him, they lifted their voices and wept, and each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head toward heaven. So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. And a life lesson from this word, Job chapter 2, verse 10. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? If God is sovereign and if he loves us, then we must believe that nothing reaches us without first passing through his omnipotent hand. And that's the truth. You know, folks look at what you got and wonder, oh, then they got this and they got that and they must be this and they must be that. They have no idea what you go through. And, you know, you have people wanting to be like you, but they don't have any idea what you go through. So I say today, be who you are, but always trust God. Psalms 91, 7 through 13, and I love this song, and we are still in it. And it says, there's 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. And we're wondering sometimes, how do they get to be this? How do they get to be that when they're decadent, when they're this, when they're that, when they're sinful, when they're wicked? How is it that they get to be this and they get to be that? And I'm suffering and I don't have this and I can't feed my children, but yet they have five houses and I am homeless. You know, they have this and I am that. You know, we have got to say, Lord, whatever is your will. Because understand, the rich may have everything on this earth, but understand, you are, as long as you are trusting God, you are building your house in heaven, your house in the gates. You are making a way where you have your path to get through the narrow gate. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't allow the enemy to take you off your square. We all go through adversity. We all go through things. We are all going through things. But God, because what my thing may be your blessing, but it may be my curse. What may be your blessing may be, what may be my blessing may be your curse. We don't know what anything is to anybody. Only God does. And he does not allow the enemy to take you out. Don't give in and don't give up. For it is God that is in charge of everything. You know, and it goes on to say, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. You know, folks wonder why certain families have not had a touch of COVID. Not one member has died. Not one person has died in that family. Wonder why certain churches have not had COVID outbreaks. wondering why, you know, certain churches never closed or didn't close, or only closed temporarily. Sitting God. And what does the word say? No evil shall befall you, no, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And when you have that in your spirit, the enemy will come at you, but God will not allow him to touch you. For he shall give his angels charge over you. And I thank God for the angels that are in charge over me. I thank God for those little white feathers that I find. I thank God for allowing me to know that he has never left me. No matter what I've been through, no matter what I'm going through, he has never left me. Hallelujah. I thank God for prayer warriors. I thank God for those that pray for me and with me. I thank God in the Bible-believing church. I thank God for his word that I stand on every day. Hallelujah. I thank God. Get filled up. For he shall give his angels charge over you. And we got to say, Lord, I thank you for giving your angels charge over me to keep you in all your ways, Lord God. I thank you for keeping me. And I'm always, you got to pray this prayer. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Satan tried to use this word against Jesus. But Jesus told him, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So we don't try to do stuff to tempt God. We do what's right. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. Proverbs chapter 22, 13 and 14. And this is a word. The lazy man says, there is a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. In other words, I'm not going out because, you know, there's a plague. I'm not going out because there's this. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. And then what happens? You will die with nothing because you're lazy. You can't be lazy. We got to get up. It's time to go to work. You know, we can't talk about the folks in the street and they living in the world when we're not getting out of the four walls to minister. We have to stay out. We got to get out and move out of them four walls and evangelize. Wherever you are, wherever you go, evangelize. Speak a word because you may be the only Jesus somebody sees. The mouth of an immoral woman is a deep pit. He who abhors by the Lord will fall there. Come on now. Immorality is rampant in our world right now. You have folks who lie, just lie to lie. Deceive to just deceive. Steal to steal. Don't mind kicking a person out of a house who you know is struggling, who you know is going through. But sorry, because now it's, oh, wait a minute, it's a housing shortage. So I'm going to kick out the renters so I can flip this house and make some money. And I don't care where they live. I don't care if their mother's sick. I don't care if their children are ill because I'm going to make that money. And you have these landlords and you have people out there with those attitudes. But I believe that whatever you are going through, what you do to the least among us, God will do to you. We wonder why certain billionaires and millionaires all of a sudden are filing bankruptcy. Because they don't have anything. They got more debt than they got wealth. Because. Why? To the least among us. How do they treat the least among us? We got to keep remembering that. Because the Lord tells us to be kind. To the stranger. To the alien. Did he say that? But we can be some cruel people. Cool. And understand there was many folks in the word that we know did some awful stuff. And some of them were clergy. It was clergy that killed Jesus because they were thinking about the power and the politics of the day. And I'm going to say it, and you'll have to agree with me, but if Jesus was around today, he would be a radical. And there would be folks right now in the church vilifying him because of the things that he did and the things that he said. Because understand the things that he did and the things that he said back in that day are the same things that would drive certain clergy crazy this day. Oh, forgiving sin, washing feet, anointing with oil, trusting in God poorly, going from first church to church and place to place, evangelizing, changing the mindset of people to love their neighbor, to follow the commandments. Because Jesus did not come to change anything. He came to make it better. He said, I did not come to change the law of the prophet, but to fulfill it. He came to fulfill, and we got to fulfill too. So let's get into our New Testament word so we don't run out of time. And it's coming out of Romans chapter 7, and it says this, or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman, as her husband, is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies and she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brothers, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions, which were aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Because understand, there was folks, you know, I'm saying Jesus, when I say he came to fulfill, he came to fulfill, but he didn't change anything except for the stuff that was man-made. Remember that. It was man-made. There was what God gave, and then there was what some of these other folks started, because the prophets told what God said. So the laws and the prophets, understand that. We're talking the statutes that God gave. And we, you know, you go back to Leviticus, you can go back to Exodus, you can go back to Deuteronomy, Numbers, you can go back all the way in the Old Testament. Those five books, the laws and the prophets, those were by God, divinely spoken and anointed. Jesus came to talk about them folks that was making up stuff to the point where people couldn't hardly live because they done made up more commands and more doctrine and more this and more that, that you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't. And that's what Jesus had a problem with. Saying Jesus did not play. And it goes on to say, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said you shall not covet. It's in top 10. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy. And the commandments holy and just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Because remember, he was so caught up in the laws of man that he was chasing down, killing, standing by, watching Christians die because they believed in Jesus Christ. They believed in life after death. They believed in eternal life. They believed in baptism. They believed that he was the Son of God, and that was the most important part. They believed Jesus was the Son of God, that he was the fulfillment of the laws of the prophet. He was the fulfillment of the word of God, and they couldn't take it because they were so theologian. They was the clergy. They was trying to stay politically correct because they was in the pocket of the Romans. Just like you have churches today that are in the pocket of certain political parties. And we cannot bring politics into the house of God, because it's something that you are going to do, because you're putting one over the other. And you cannot serve two masters. And it goes on to tell us in chapter 7, verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what am I doing? I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. For what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. But to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." And this is what Dr. Stanley says. He says in this life lesson, it says Romans 7:12, "The law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good." The word of God reveals to us the character of God, his holiness, righteousness, justice, goodness, kindness, and more as a reflection of him. The word both celebrates his perfect nature and reveals to us our own fallen nature. Because we are definitely not perfect. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 7:15, "What I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do." All of us can relate to the fierce internal struggles that Paul describes. Until we stand in Jesus' presence, we will all experience this battle. The only way to win is by joyfully tapping into the Spirit's overcoming power. We got to pray daily. "Lord, please remove all sin from my mind, my body, from my spirit." Because the enemy will throw at you everything he has. And you got to pray and pray and pray some more. Because he hits you in your children. He hits you in your finances. He hits you in your faith. He hits you in your health. He hits you in every aspect of life. But you got to constantly be prayed up. It says Romans 7:18, "To will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find." We simply do not have the power by ourselves to do what pleases God. Even the good things we do in our own strength make us prideful and dishonor to God. Isaiah 64:6. We got to understand that we can't do anything in flesh. You know, because sometimes folks get so caught up in things that they're doing, good things, but they're doing it in the flesh. And then they get the big head. That's why you got some pastors that are preaching false doctrine, because they done got caught up in the flesh. Cannot. We got to pray through all things. Because it is our Father God that is in charge and not us. We are just humble servants moving through, coming through, and praying through every time. Trust God today and know that he is the way. He is absolute. And the word of God in Isaiah, it's a prayer for help. And I tell you, that should be one of your bookmarks. You need to mark this prayer. I don't have time today to read the whole thing, but I just will read verse 6. And it says, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our uniqueness like the wind have taken us away. And then I'm going to go ahead and read verse 7. And there is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. We wonder why we go through. Come on now. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. You are the clay, and you are our potter. We are the clay, and you are potter. And all we are, the work of your hand. Ooh. And that is our word for this morning. We have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, from Carolyn's gift this morning. And the word of God is this. Good morning. Wherever you go today, God will be there. Wow. Have a thankful Thursday, family. And, you know, again, I never tell our sister what I'm going to come from or what I'm going to preach or teach. She just always gets the right word. And the word that God gave me this morning that I leave with you, all things come through our Heavenly Father. And I say to you this morning, may the Lord watch between me and thee. While we are absent, one from each other, in the precious and holy name of our loving and kind Savior, Christ Jesus, who through his death gave us life. And it's in his name I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. And family, it is a wrap, because it's what? Time to go to work. What do we work for? We work for God. Have a blessed day, y'all. Have a thankful Thursday. It's a wrap. Thank you.